Hey guys, it's James.
And Samuel.
And we are back for another week down the rabbit hole.
Yes, continuing our series for October, America's War on Americans. And this week, we will be discussing the war on drugs.
Yeah.
So I don't believe we have any announcements this go-around.
Nothing important, not off the top of my head.
No, just that we're basically recording down the rabbit hole in bulk right now.
Yeah.
But, basically we're going to be going over the war on drugs. We went over the police last week, and it's the police that enforces the war on drugs, which, you know, basically started in 1971 and has carried on till today.
Yeah.
Has cost the American people trillions of dollars and has been a large failure and has only really succeeded in substantially increasing the prison population as well as demonizing people that are minorities.
It hasn't really accomplished much. I say drugs won.
Yeah, drugs definitely won. But kind of to kick things off, the reason why the war on drugs was actually started, you know, at the time, it's under this guise of, hey, it's for the better of the people.
Drugs are bad. Drugs are bad. Marijuana makes you murderous.
Totally, it's that reefer madness.
It makes you crazy. It makes you likely to rape everyone, to kill everyone, and to probably be Mexican.
And to praise, you smoke marijuana once and you become Mexican.
Yeah.
But in reality, the war on drugs was actually started for very racist reasons. John Ehrlichman. Who was
weird name and all?
Yeah, who served as the domestic policy chief for President Richard Nixon when the administration declared its war on drugs in 1971, was quoted as saying in 1994, quote, "The Nixon campaign in 1968 and the Nixon White House after that had two enemies, the anti-war left and black people. You understand what I'm saying? We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about drugs? Of course we did."
Yeah.
That's why the war on drugs was started. It's because the black community, as well as the anti-war community, were the main opposition to Nixon's campaign. So they declared war on drugs so that they could demonize and villainize these people.
They couldn't pull a Reagan and just outright say war on hippies.
Yeah.
They couldn't do that. They couldn't just say war on black people.
Or they couldn't do what FDR did and war on Japanese people.
They couldn't pull that because the people wouldn't get behind it. So they needed something else to blame. And after MK Ultra,
the war on drugs was started soon after MK Ultra, which resulted in the release of psilocybin and LSD to the public. So
and
they basically provided these drugs to the public and were like, "Oh no, wait, those are bad. Fuck you, we're throwing you in jail.
Don't touch those. Don't touch those drugs. Those are our drugs.
Those are my drugs.
Those are our drugs, and we're waging war on them. If you don't want in this war, don't get involved in drugs."
Yeah, but you see, another benefit of the war on drugs for the government at the time and even now, aside from just, you know, giving them reason to demonize their opposition, it also fuels the prison industrial complex.
Oh yeah.
It provides plenty of tax dollars to flow into the private hands of private prisons, and it provides plenty of slave labor within prisons to carry out public works as well as to run those prisons.
Plenty of people, just most people I've met have at least fucked around with drugs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, drugs that this war is against. There's so many people that just mess with it out of curiosity, or they know what they're doing and they don't care. It's a normal thing.
Yeah.
It's completely normal, and the government's going to criminalize it, make it bad, and they use it as an excuse to throw you in jail and use your body for their labor.
Mm-hmm.
Because why not?
Yeah, and then you have people like Kamala Harris, who has imprisoned many people for the use of marijuana, but then when she was asked about her own marijuana use, she laughed at it. It was just all fun and jokes. Yeah, I've used it. Haha, look at me, so silly. Meanwhile, she was ruining people's lives
drugs,
for the same thing.
Drugs will ruin your life, so let me throw you in jail and ruin your life to avoid you ruining your life.
Exactly.
I'm going to save you from the terrible things that's going to happen if you don't let me save you.
Oh, boy. But yeah, the biggest thing is the ability to demonize communities, to vilify people, and to fuel the prison industrial complex. So that's why the government has been so strongly against ending the war on drugs. It's why marijuana legalization has taken so damn long.
Because what the fuck are cops going to do if they can't just smell weed anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Canine units are going to basically cease to exist. I mean, really.
I remember there was one police department that threatened to kill all of their dogs if marijuana got legalized.
Yeah, because what are those dogs even good for anymore? They're definitely not good for keeping you company or
being fucking
adorable.
No, what it was a threat.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you do this, we'll kill the dogs. It's like, you guys do like killing dogs, so I mean, I'm not surprised.
If you end the war,
you guys should be all over this. It's like, ooh, we get to shoot more dogs?
End the war on drugs and or we'll kill our dogs. Oh, the poor dogs.
But, you know, and we didn't even write this in, but the DARE program.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the DARE program.
Complete
because,
and
like,
utter failure.
Yeah, because I was about to transition into the school-to-prison pipeline. That just reminded me of the DARE program, which actually resulted in more kids getting on drugs.
It fueled the curiosity. It's like, oh,
well,
don't do drugs.
And
why,
also,
though?
One of the biggest issues was it equated marijuana with things like heroin and crack and cocaine. It's like, so, you know, marijuana, that's a pretty harmless thing,
and a bunch of these kids had already done marijuana. A bunch of these kids had already smoked, and they're like, oh, well, if it's just as bad as heroin, I guess heroin's not that bad.
Yeah, so then they end up moving over to actual hard drugs, and then it fucks them up.
Yeah.
Because turns out, marijuana's actually not that bad.
It's not nearly as bad as heroin.
No. And
but why would the government lie to you?
Why would the government lie to you? There are still politicians, plenty of them, that stand by the DARE program and want to bring it back. It's like, I'm sure you fucking do, because you want to keep raging on the war on drugs.
We haven't gotten enough people hooked on drugs, so bring back the DARE program, tell them not to, and then watch everybody become drug addicts.
Everyone.
It'd be a good time.
except the politicians.
Yeah, politicians totally don't do drugs.
No, not at all. What?
They're
the pinnacle of human society.
They definitely don't create experimental drugs and use them on unknowing suspects or, sorry, unknowing victims.
Yeah, not at all.
They definitely don't do that. Why would they do that?
Why? But it really does
Mind control.
It fuels the school-to-prison pipeline. And basically what that is, it is trying to get people into the prison system as early on as they possibly can.
Even if they're six.
Yeah, and even if they're six. But the thing about it is when you get someone into the prison system...
Fuck, there goes their life.
Usually they keep going back in. It fucks up their life to the point... Like, say that you just get convicted... Like, if you become a felon for something like marijuana possession...
Which is felonious, mind you.
So, when you get convicted of a felony... Now, you are going to have a phenomenally harder job finding, or harder time finding a job. You're going to be under more scrutiny from the police if they see that you're an ex-con. And what this does is it forces people out of genuine methods of making money, and it forces them into illegal methods of making money, which ultimately results in them constantly going in and out of the prison system.
Yeah, and it further props up the war on drugs, because a lot of these people, they figure, well, if I got in for drugs, I'll just, you know, stay on that.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't to say everyone, but there's plenty of people. Once they get into the system based on drug offenses, once they get out, it's a sure thing. They know they can do this. It's hard enough getting another job doing anything else, so they go to drug dealing.
Yeah.
They go to smuggling, they go to growing and all this other shit, and they may as well just stay in it because it's all they fucking have, because the government stripped them of all other means of revenue generation.
Because there are plenty of businesses that will not hire felons, regardless of what the felony was.
Yeah.
It could have just been basic possession that was just enough to put it up to the level of a felony. now that person has a swath of potential jobs completely cut out because of something that they did that was entirely harmless.
And then the real bullshit gets just a little bit deeper. So now they're fucking up your means of employment.
Mm-hmm.
This makes it difficult to make money. Eventually, this can, it doesn't always, but can lead to homelessness.
Oh, yeah.
And God knows they hate homeless people for some fucking reason. They will...
Well, it's because they don't pay into taxes, James.
Yeah.
We live in a society.
So they fuck up your productivity, force you onto the streets, and then beat the shit out of you and arrest you and all this other fun shit. They just... They put the fish in their own damn barrel.
Mm-hmm. They do. And I think the ultimate, like, that's just the ultimate reason for keeping it in. That's why they want the DARE program back. That's why they keep pushing against marijuana legalization. Because they're trying to keep the school-to-prison pipeline alive, as much as they say that they're not.
They are.
And they don't want to get rid of one of the biggest tools that they have to demonize people.
Why would they? They'd have to come up with something else, and Lord knows they're not going to say because you're a hippie or because you're black. They're not going to say that.
We have now criminalized being black. I mean, it kind of already is. Like, it's
really? it's gotten to that point.
It's like, oh, why was he shot and killed while he was unarmed? Mowing the grass while being black. Going 5 miles over the speed limit while being black. Having a broken taillight while being black.
Being black while being black.
Which brings me to a little quote that neocons constantly like to throw out.
Oh, Lord.
And it's, despite only being 13% of the population, black people account for 50% of the nation's crime. What they don't like to include is that a large portion of that are drug offenses.
Victimless crimes,
drug offenses that were started for the express reason of targeting black people. And they like to like play it off as if it's violent crime.
Yeah, they like to make it up to be like all black guys are thugs and gangsters. They're gonna drive by on your house. They're gonna rape your mom. And no, that's simply not true.
It's usually simple marijuana possession. Like,
usually, yeah.
That's usually what it is, or like dealing marijuana, which again should not be a fucking crime.
Or selling single loose cigarettes.
Yeah, but. Another thing that they don't like to acknowledge is that the CIA, especially like outside of just marijuana, like when it gets into the harder drugs, the CIA was funneling drugs into black communities, into the inner cities.
Expressly.
They were doing that. They were using the fact that there was a black market to be able to jack up the prices, and then they were using those profits to fund their own operations, which could not be funded by taxpayers because they needed it to be as off the books as possible.
It's supposed to be super secret, under the table type stuff.
They created drug epidemics in inner cities by making those drugs super easily available.
Yeah.
And
I mean, really, when you look at the CIA using the black market. The CIA literally created this black market.
Oh, yeah.
Because the black market is simply a market that exists despite the law. It exists against the law. It is things that are specifically illegal. So when the government outlawed all these drugs and created the war on drugs and all this, well, obviously, these drugs are still present. They're still mm-hmm. around. They're still circulating in their own little economy. But now that economy is illegal. That whole market is illegal. Mm-hmm. So they made that black market. And the CIA took advantage of that because now all this money has to be under the table. It all has to be off the books. So the CIA uses this black market that they just created, and they fucking monopolize it.
Mm-hmm.
To a point. They don't completely monopolize it. Well, actually, speaking on one monopoly, I think it was... God, I want to say it was cocaine. A while back, there was like one guy was almost the world's sole producer of cocaine. Don't quote me on that. I'll have to look into that. But if I'm remembering correctly, one guy pumped out like 90% of the cocaine of the whole fucking world.
Damn you, El Chapo.
That one fucking guy. He is my hero.
But the thing is, Gary Webb was the one that brought light to the CIA, like funneling drugs into the United States, despite it being illegal. I would suggest looking into Gary Webb. He was the whistleblower that really brought light to that. After he did, there was an intense media smear campaign. He lost his job and then was found dead with two gunshot wounds to the head.
Well, yeah.
Two, and it was ruled a suicide.
Well, you know, after the first one, the recoil of the gun just kind of made his finger pull the trigger again post-mortem.
Totally.
You know, that's how that works.
That's definitely how that happened.
Definitely killed himself.
Totally
don't look into it.
Totally not because he exposed a CIA operation. That
definitely
was
not.
Funneling drugs into black communities.
Why would it be? Why would that have anything to do with it? He shot himself in the back of the head twice.
Yeah. But on the topic of black markets, another thing the war on drugs does, and this is arguably one of the, if not the worst thing it does, is it fuels the cartels.
Yeah.
Very
holy
violent
fuck.
Cartels. And that's another thing that neocons like to use to demonize Mexicans is the cartels, and they're not realizing most of the Mexicans that flee from Mexico to come here are running from the cartels. They're trying
that
to get away from
the CIA is
that.
Propping up.
But the thing about the cartels, it could be a peaceful business if the United States government wasn't so violent in retaliation to them. Like, the thing is, the way these kinds of things start, the government outlaws something, a black market is created. Yeah, a black market is created. Then the police will be violently cracking down on the black market. The violence of the police results in the people participating in the black market to have to be violent. So since they're violent, the police get more violent, then black market gets more violent, then police get more violent, then black market gets more violent, and it just gets worse and worse and worse until you have something on the grade of the Mexican drug cartel, which is horribly fucking violent.
At least until one of them eventually pops up a nuclear missile.
That's
when the violence stops, when everyone's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm. But these cartels are only able to really exist like this because there is a government-enforced black market on these things.
Yeah.
Like, the reason that they're able to prop themselves up is because it's illegal, because it's difficult to do, and they are one of the few that have all of the connections, the manpower, the firepower to be able to do it. And the thing is, these cartels really fucking hurt the countries that they're in.
They don't give a damn about the local communities.
No, and it doesn't affect the Americans. The cartels do not affect the Americans. Like, the only way that we feel anything from them is from Mexican refugees.
And
I don't see anything wrong with that. Mexicans are hardworking people. We need more of them over here. But the cartels, which are propped up by the United States government and their prohibition on drugs, that hurts their home countries. That hurt, like, South America is constantly hurting due to the cocaine black market. Mexico is always hurting due to the heroin and marijuana black market. And Afghanistan is hurting due to the heroin black market. Afghanistan, particularly, I don't think Afghanistan has a cartel. They just have the U.S. Army that's,
yeah,
like, enforcing sanctions on what crops can be grown, which forces Afghanis to have to grow poppy to be
able... And then we'll literally have troops get stationed over there just to patrol and watch these fucking poppy fields.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing full well that this product is not legal in their home country, they'll go over there and watch it anyway.
Yeah.
And you might think, oh, my heroes. No.
And a lot of people try to point to the poppy fields and be like, see? The Afghanis are trying to poison us with heroin. It's like, no. Chances are, if they could grow cotton or wheat or whatever have you, they would. But there are American sanctions on what crops can be grown by the Afghani people. Poppy is not one of them that is sanctioned. So oftentimes, they're left with only a handful of options, one of them being poppy, that one just happening to be the most viable. And that's what the government wants. They want to be able to funnel more drugs to smaller communities to fuel the drug war, to demonize people, and to fuel prison labor.
Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it comes down to the government getting what they want by means of force and violence rather than any form of legitimate voluntary transaction.
Yeah, and then using the violence they cause as justification for their violence.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we'll be violent first, but then when they retaliate, we're going to look at them and be like, see, this is why we have to be violent, because they're violent. Bitch, you were violent first!
You started it!
You started this shit, you motherfucker.
I mean, yeah, but you didn't have to retaliate. If you just didn't retaliate, this whole thing would have gone by so much smoother.
Because that's totally in the human nature. Get attacked, do nothing.
Do nothing. Turn the other cheek, and the other one, and the other one, and the other one.
Clap them cheeks for me. Oh, gosh.
Kind of makes me wonder about Area 51, though. Like, if we eventually do break aliens out, they're obviously going to come off as very violent, yes, because they're captives on a foreign planet, and so on and so forth, but, mm-hmm. like, the government's probably going to try and scrub it as, well, we had to keep them captive. They're violent. They're violent because you kept them captive. Stop.
But I just thought about something.
That's not good.
Oh, is it though? But civil asset forfeiture. One of the biggest reasons they justify the use of civil asset forfeiture is because usually what they'll do is they'll find, yeah, also blatant drug connections, but they'll find large amounts of money, like it'd just be $2,000 or $3,000, which is not that much money.
Yeah,
like they could just have $2,000 or $3,000 in their car. They get pulled over, the cops find it, and it's like, huh, you have cash. This could be for drugs. So we're gonna take all your shit, and you're gonna have to fight to get it back.
Which that's the fun thing is, like, now if you're carrying large quantities of cash, mm-hmm. they suspect that it may have something to do with drugs. No. There was a point in time where cash was all anybody fucking carried.
Mm-hmm.
And now you carry a large enough quantity of cash and they think you're trying to do some illegal dealings. Fuck you. Fuck you.
And then there was a story we covered in A Week in Anjo recently at the, I think it was the Lauderdale International Airport in Florida. But the they had a habit of targeting people and basically selling or telling them that they had that their clothes in their bag smelled like marijuana. Like, what they would do is they would approach them. Oh, and they
had a boarding pass going to, like, LA or some shit.
Yeah, they would have a boarding pass going to California. They would stop them, and what it seems like is going on, they'll search their things. If they find something that they want to take, they will then claim that the clothes smell like marijuana. They will claim that the individual was being elusive in their answers, and then they will use civil asset forfeiture to steal the money.
And anything else they fucking want.
Yeah, but, like, the big justification is their clothes smell like marijuana.
Which isn't justification for a search or a seizure or anything, really.
Yeah, and plus, this, like, individual just had their boarding pass to go to California.
Yeah.
Chances are it's going to be a lot harder for them to go to the other side of the fucking country to fight to get their shit back.
Not happening. I'm against all civil asset forfeiture, all illegal search and seizure. I'm against legal search and seizure. Like, fuck off. But
James, the civil asset forfeiture funds the blue line.
But even in the legal sense of it, smelling like weed is not enough. Like, even by their rules, by their books, smelling weed isn't enough. But they don't give a shit.
No.
They just, oh, well, I smell weed. I'm taking everything you own. Why? I need that.
But the funny thing is, like, I love how constitutionalists, like, and you'll hear us mention the Constitution. It's not because we believe in the Constitution or that we feel it holds any ground. It's because there's so many people that do, and we're trying to show them
it doesn't fucking work. If it was going to do something, it fucking would have by now.
But the thing is, civil asset forfeiture, was it the Fourth or the Fifth Amendment?
Fifth Amendment's the right to remain silent, so Fourth is illegal search and seizure.
Well, it's illegal search and seizure, but there was another one that I think it was your right to a trial or due process,
speedy
maybe.
Trial.
Oh, I'm trying to find it, but it definitely flies in the face of one of the amendments. Like, okay, it is the Fifth Amendment.
It is.
Yeah, basically later on in the Fifth Amendment, it says, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
And see, I've seen some shit where
there's no if, and, or but. It says, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
I've seen shit where different police departments will seize all of your shit. They'll take your car. I saw there was a picture of a Hummer H1 back in the day, painted up as a police vehicle and all this shit, all the decaling and whatnot, and on the back had a little text banner that said it was seized from a drug dealer. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of directly goes against this little constitution thing you got going on here. Yeah, so I'm just gonna assume this piece of paper means nothing.
Nothing at all. But the thing is, the government doesn't give a fuck about the Constitution. The First Amendment is trampled by the fact that you have to get approved for rallies and protests. It is infringed by government watch lists.
The existence of the disorderly conduct charges.
Yeah.
They try and say, oh, well, it's a threat. So what if it's a fucking threat?
And then the Second Amendment is trampled by every single gun law.
All of them.
We know that the Fourth Amendment is trampled by stop and search practices by police, or stop and identify.
Not a whole lot going on with the Third Amendment, but, I mean, we don't have domestic war going on right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure they'd violate it. They'd be like, listen, this is very dire, but
we need this soldier to shack up in your place while his wife is mad.
But when it comes to the Fourth Amendment, there are plenty of fucking warrantless searches. There's plenty of
all the time.
Stop and frisk seizures, checkpoints. And then with the Fifth Amendment, you have civil asset forfeiture. Like, the government doesn't give a single flying fuck about your Constitution. Like, they don't care.
They really don't.
But
they use it to look like they care, as long as they don't touch the Constitution, as long as they don't alter it or anything. If they leave it as it is, so all the text is still there and it looks nice and pretty, people will completely ignore that the government doesn't give a fuck about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is within the Constitution, especially within the Bill of Rights, there aren't very many if, ands, or buts. It is, this
period.
Shall not be infringed. Shall not!
Period, period, period.
But they don't care. You see, it was a good effort. It was a good attempt by a handful of anarchists that founded a nation because people were just wouldn't accept not living without a government.
Oh, they need it. The government, roads.
But they did their best. Because by all means, the Founding Fathers were anarchists. A lot of them wanted to abolish slavery right off the jump, but others went against that because they were afraid it wouldn't be ratified. But ultimately what they wanted was, okay, we kicked the Brits out, let's just continue on with our lives.
Yeah, let's like just ultimate go on liberty. Like nothing happened.
Like complete and ultimate true liberty, no government needed. But didn't work that way because minarchism cannot and will never work. Like the United States of America is the perfect example of minarchy completely and utterly failing.
Well, I'd say it's working for some people.
Some people.
It's working for the government.
It's working for them. They got big as fuck. But with that said, I've been awake for a little over an hour. James has to go to work in about 40 minutes.
Something like that.
We've managed to breach the almost 30-minute mark. So I'd say that we'd wrap up this episode of Down the Rabbit Hole. And please do not forget to tune in this coming weekend for an episode of A Week in Anjo. And don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of this series on America's War on Americans.
Next week, I believe, we're going over the military. So yes. fun stuff there.
That's going to be a fun one, and that's a hard one to tread because there are a lot of anarchists that are veterans.
You don't see any that are ex-cops, though.
No, you really don't. No, because I feel like, yeah, veterans definitely get it harder, but we'll get more into that next week. So,
hell yeah.
Take it easy, guys, and don't die.
Stay sexy.